This isn't for everyone. It's for the ones who know the old system is broken and are ready to build something that lasts. Welcome to the Build with Bitcoin podcast.
We are your co-hosts, Israel Munoz and Lynn Bairstow, and we're doing another highlights episode today where we really enjoy these. We tried to do our best job at summarizing and just kind of doing a recap of the most recent five conversations that we've gone through in the podcast. And for this set, we have a pretty diverse set of content and founders. So we'll be going through a most recent episode that was released with a company called ZBD. That was with co-founder André Neves. We have a recent conversation with Orange BTC based out of Brazil. And that's a Bitcoin treasury company that's publicly listed. That's with the founder of Orange BTC, Guy Gomez. We spoke with Mark Suman from Maple AI, privacy first AI that integrated Bitcoin payments. And then we also have an episode that's the founder and investor duo, which is with Gustavo Flores, Michael Tanguma. That's Aureo and Early Riders. And finally, a new accelerator based out of London called Antidote. And that's with Ben Cousins. So let's maybe just get right into it. Lynn, what are your, I guess, high-level thoughts before we go one by one on these?
Well, I guess, you know, just looking at the diversity, and you and I chatting before this, it's like it's hard to pull some common threads, but I think that's really an exciting development in the system where we see there's a European accelerator program that really helps people on that continent grow Bitcoin companies. That means that there's enough companies and enough activity there to warrant that. We have investor, we have a couple in LATAM. And so we see the activity really heating up there in terms of what's available. And then some new and interesting technologies with integration with gaming and AI and how that is working. So I mean, the diversity is exciting because it just shows the breadth of how Bitcoin, quote unquote, companies are touching these different areas. And we're seeing such a new crop, a new way of thinking about what a Bitcoin company is beyond just on ramps and how to buy Bitcoin. So it's getting to kind of spread into all these other areas of founder ideas.
Yeah. You're spot on. The infrastructure is being built out, I mean, across different continents, you know, geographies, industries, and quite a different set of use cases that each of these companies is, you know, tackling. So, I fully agree, Lynn. I think it's a very healthy sign of the maturity of the ecosystem and the technology. So, maybe we can start with the most recent conversation and we'll go from there.
Lynn and I are partners at Baselayer Advisors, where we use our network of venture capital partners and startup founders to connect investors with unique opportunities within the Bitcoin innovation space. Alongside this, we help startup founders with their growth and fundraising. Visit our website's advisory section to learn more.
So the first episode that we'll highlight here is a company called ZBD with André Neves, who is one of the co-founders there. They are one of the most successful, if you're measuring success as far as capital raised, let's just be clear there. But they have been one of the most successful fundraisers in the space. They're quite mature. They're growing rapidly. It's a really interesting conversation as well on the intersection of AI, the benefits and productivity that AI brings to a Bitcoin native company like ZBD. Andres is very well versed in just the technical infrastructure of Bitcoin payments. We get into nano and micro transactions and settled in real time. That's of course all possible through the Lightning Network, Bitcoin's layer 2, and why this is so important in an industry the size of gaming. Lots of people might be surprised, but gaming is actually a massive industry, and ZBD is steadily making some very positive success stories in that industry, which he kind of highlights, right? Some of the clients he kind of mentions to us, right, Lynn, that they've increased, you know, their retention numbers, how happy these gaming developers are that they're able to integrate instant rewards and just that instant payout to some of their users is leading to just better, you know, better results ultimately. And they're processing over 120 million transactions per year by now. So lots of interesting insights with Andre and ZBD. I mean, I could go on and on, but what were some of your takeaways from that one, Lynn?
I think ZBD is a great example of how Bitcoin can become an underlying infrastructure for payments or for valued transactions without somebody necessarily thinking about Bitcoin. So, you know, this gaming example is perfect because he says, you know, Andre says he's onboarded so many millions of people into Bitcoin without them even realizing it, because it's, you know, it just shows that the fundamentals, the infrastructure, the Bitcoin protocol makes for more efficient transactions and at smaller levels, faster settlement, final settlement. And so it's a better system. And, you know, by adopting it to gaming, where you do have a very digital savvy, you know, user base, even though they may, you know, the payment system may have been antiquated before ZBD stepped in. But, you know, I love that idea because, you know, it just proves the point that I think ultimately we'll get to the point where Bitcoin will become the foundational financial rails for all kinds of transactions. And, you know, ZBD's ability to process these micropayments and nanopayments, as you talk about, and AI agentic payments as you look further, or streaming payments, as we talk about in the podcast with, you know, podcast streaming or any kind of entertainment streaming. I mean, it really makes my head just kind of break open with all the possibilities. And yet it's not, you don't have to work hard to have a Bitcoin wallet or system. I mean, it's just part of the invisible architecture for a better payment experience. So that is exciting to me. And I think that is a testament to why they've been so, underlying reason as to why they've been so successful, both in adoption, number of payments transacted per year, and, you know, translating that into raising capital.
Yeah. And we get into a little bit of this, of these points with Andre, but I want to touch on very briefly the fact that, I mean, ZBD, they're proving that this is a pretty transformative technology, because it's not just, you know, a current process that's improving, let's say, in a specific industry. It's not efficiency gains, to put it that way. I mean, we get into the why exactly, but I mean, these micro or nano transactions that they're enabling within the gaming industry, this just flat out isn't possible with the fiat rails, right? So it's very interesting that you have a completely new use case using the Bitcoin technology. Clearly it's gaining traction, and to your point, it's you know, it's kind of onboarding people with just their time and energy that they, you know, that they're spending in these games. And then the other fascinating component too is once you have these you know, millions of new users, let's just say, with Bitcoin in their hands that they just earned. I mean, they never even purchased, they didn't have to go to an exchange or anything. I mean, it just opens up, like, they will use it, right? I mean, it's just a matter of time, but people will begin to, of course, transact with this currency that they have. I don't know if you've seen recently the map of the, like, rapidly growing merchants that accept Bitcoin.
Yes.
So it just, you know, it just kind of makes me think, like, you have this kind of invisible onboarding of Bitcoin through gaming in this case, that's expanding rapidly. At the same time, you have so many more businesses and people that are willing to or preferring to accept Bitcoin. I do think we're seeing the backbone of Bitcoin being able to be transacted and used as a medium of exchange.
And that kind of gets to the point where I think that a lot of confusion arises out of the fact that the word Bitcoin means two connected but separate things. It means the asset, Bitcoin, but there's also Bitcoin, the protocol, which is a technology that underlies it that just is going to create a much more efficient and fair and equitable and inexpensive financial system, taking the power away from the banks. And they're connected but separate. And so, you know, this conversation really, really speaks to the power of the protocol. And that's what I think you and I get so excited about too.
Yeah, precisely. And then moving on to the next conversation is speaking more, less so maybe about the protocol, although Guy has a very great understanding of the protocol and the technology itself. But that's a use case built more so on the asset, right? The scarcity of this asset, which is the conversation we had with Guy Gomez of Orange BTC. which is Brazil's main Bitcoin treasury company now. They listed a few months ago in the local stock exchange. And Gui comes from also a fascinating background. He talks a little bit about the currency collapses that he experienced growing up in Brazil, and how that also shaped his thinking about money, about currency. He has extensive experience as well in Wall Street and, you know, the broader hedge fund and macro space. He spent time at Bridgewater. He spent time at Swan. What were some of your thoughts on that one?
With Gui, you know, coming from the very traditional hedge fund, you know, and looking at that and talking about how, you know, riding the subway from Manhattan to Long Island, where he was working at Bridgewater, listening to Bitcoin podcasts and how it just, you know, kept thinking about this disconnect between the current financial system and what he sees as the future financial system. And so, and fixing, you know, and how Brazil is a country that really needs it. I love his perspective on wanting to put it in the pension funds and the educational aspect of Orange BTC. So, you know, instead of being a treasury company, as we think of strategy here in the US with Michael Saylor, is, you know, kind of remaking capital markets and focused on institutional clients. You know, Gui's kind of mission and vision for Orange is really to help educate, you know, the Brazilian population on how this is a better financial system. And it can help smooth over some of these inequalities and problems that Brazil has gone through over the years. So the educational component is very important and a differentiator from that treasury company to others.
Yeah, and I love seeing these local companies, you know, pop up all over the world, really, because I mean that's the reality, right? It's, you know, 8 billion of us, and everyone needs Bitcoin, and you know, I think in the U.S. is pretty privileged to have a, you know, pretty sophisticated capital markets and competitive country as far as access to these public markets and access to capital and entrepreneurs and startups always innovating. Other regions, you know, don't have that density and diversity of entrepreneurship and capital markets. So I think, you know, someone like Orange BTC is extremely important for, you know, in this case, Brazil, because there's a lot of cultural components as well to the educational barriers, right? And, you know, Gui speaks to how important that is for them, and all the work they're doing there. And to your point on the pension funds, I mean, there's a lot of institutions that can only tap into local Brazilian companies in this case. So yeah, it's a great conversation. One of the more interesting treasury companies out there. Gui does a great job walking us through their experience building Orange BTC. And then the next episode that we have in this set is Maple AI with Mark Suman. So very different company here. It's an AI company that's leveraging open source models, and it kind of took a Bitcoin ethos and privacy first approach to AI. So this is a big conversation on the importance of privacy. Mark Suman, I mean, super well prepared. He has a very interesting background as well. He was at Apple, and he's been focused on privacy for many years. What were some of your takeaways from that one?
Well, I've been watching Maple AI and hearing about it for so long that I was just really thrilled to have that conversation with Mark. It's something that I believe in, as I know you do too. But, you know, just to the core, it's like I think we should have learned our lesson going through social media and just giving up so much of our own information and data and thoughts, you know, and images to these large controlling companies. And yes, we get a service for it, but at what cost? And so I think some of the negative implications of social media can just be amplified with these large companies that are controlling the LLMs and how much people are putting into them. So Maple AI is a way to kind of obfuscate the information that you're putting in. They use the same models. They use the open source models of, you know, that are available, including OpenAI and Google's Gemini and Anthropic. And so they use all the same tools, but they hide like who it is that's asking the query personal health or mental health or well-being or, you know, private conversations, you should think carefully about how much information you're giving to these companies, because as we've started to see, the runaway growth of AI is actually turning some of the agents kind of into, I mean, they're rewarded by engaging, by engagement again. And so the engagement could be just feeding onto something that a user is giving them and with dangerous consequences. I just think the privacy conversation around AI is very, very important. And you know, and Mark is a Bitcoiner, and you know, and to your point, the ethos of you know, having decentralized services and really being in control of your information is critical in his mind.
And one other thing that, you know, comes to mind from the conversation, and Mark also touches on this, which I think there's a lot more that we'll hear and see on this topic in 2026. It seems like, just based off of how things started off this year, but the use of Bitcoin as rails by AI agents themselves, which is also something that we touch on with Andre from ZBD. And it's just, I think it's just clear that this is going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to kind of underscore the point that you just made about the potential for Bitcoin usage as a medium of exchange among AI agents. And I mean, to me, it's so clear and so obvious that this is the choice that AI agents will use for, you know, for trading value with other AI agents or with other resources. And we're just, you know, it's evolving quickly, but I just, you know, I almost wonder if it will, you know, supersede human usage of Bitcoin value to value transfer, just because you have so many more transactions. And I mean, in terms of number of transactions, possibly not value overall, but it's fascinating to see where this is going to go.
Fully agree there. Might sneak up quicker than we think as well. And then the next conversation that we had in this set was with both OnRamp, Michael Tanguma from OnRamp, and Gustavo from Audio. So this was a very unique episode in the sense that we haven't had. So Audio was funded by, in this latest round, by OnRamp, and they were exclusive investors. So they placed a very high conviction bet on Audio. And it's a very interesting conversation to that regard, right? We've never had the investor and founder, and much less for an exclusive investment like this, together on the podcast. And we did in this episode. Great content. Also with Audio, is a company based out of Mexico providing Bitcoin and on and off ramp and custody services. They integrate OnRamp's multi-institutional custody setup as well on the back end. So, I mean, we have a great conversation with both Gustavo and Michael on the importance of, you know, resilient custody, the importance of education. Audio speaks to the makeup of the Mexican ecosystem.
I think it was such a really good and solid conversation, because we've had both Michael and Gustavo on before. Gustavo, when Aureo was known as Swapito, and it was a way to live on Bitcoin in Mexico and interact with the banking system through Bitcoin. And Michael, who knew Gustavo before, this is Gustavo's third startup in the Bitcoin space. And he's originally from Peru, grew up in Canada. That's where his other two startups were formed. And now that he's in Mexico, I mean, he's just a fantastic founder. I mean, really excellent executor, and saw an opportunity based on his own needs, and then was able to evolve it with Michael's support and direction. And, you know, it's a great way to see, first of all, I think, you know, overall VC, especially on the early stage, is not working so well in traditional tech. But on the Bitcoin side, we just see these investors that understand Bitcoin, understand the long-term relationship that you should really have with the founder. And I loved seeing that interaction between Michael and Gustavo. And it just kind of points to what I think you and I are both hopeful about, is when we have better investors investing in startup for the correct reasons, not looking for, you know, 1000x quick returns or tokenization, truly building a valuable company together with the right perspectives and being true partners to one another. So I think if anyone wants to be refreshed on what a founder-investor relationship can look like, this is a great conversation to listen to. And obviously, it's like Gustavo runs my local BitDevs, and he does a fantastic job of it. Just, you know, he's really brilliant, and I, you know, I feel like a friend too. So it's good to see the success in what he's building and the whole team at Aureo.
Yeah, and it's a unique partnership that they built, to your point. And they're all kind of just patiently building for the long term with their own vision and on-ramp, you know, broader market reach, but Aureo in Mexico. So, I mean, spanning a few geographies there in that conversation. Yeah, highly encourage you listeners to check that one out if you're interested. And then final in this set is a company based out of London. Well, an accelerator to be exact. It's an accelerator program called Antidote. So that's with Ben Cousins, one of the founders of Antidote. And that was very interesting conversation with Ben. I mean, Ben's very smart. He speaks to the founding story of Antidote, basically just him and, you know, he kind of talks about this in the episode, but him and a few other Bitcoiners in the London area realizing that we need to kind of step up our game, to put it that way, in Bitcoin. And there needs to be just a more well-established foundation and community for people to kind of link up between investors and entrepreneurs as well. So he goes into the why Antidote was born, but the main point here is it's extremely healthy to see a clearly capable founding team of Antidote, and he's also working with Michele from Folger. And anyways, they have a great team that's putting this together. And London, I mean, you know, one of the fintech capitals of the world, it was long overdue to have a Bitcoin focused accelerator program or hub for people to work out of, to meet, to get, you know, educational content from. And I mean, it's a new accelerator. It's pretty recent, but yeah, I mean, to me, it just seemed like a very healthy development. And these ecosystems, I mean, I'm a big believer in some of these, you know, physical hubs that bring people together. I mean, I know you are as well. And so, yeah, what were some of your thoughts from that one?
Yeah, well, mirroring a lot of yours, and also, you know, where, yes, London is and has been a fintech, you know, or financial capital of the world for, you know, a long time. But in recent years, you know, its regulatory framework is getting a little bit more restrictive or less privacy focused. And so, you know, that's what, you know, and Ben talks about that. And I think, you know, just the way he's interacting with government is very healthy and educating. And so even in the whole EU, you know, you're seeing trending toward central bank currencies and toward, you know, different other more restrictive or less privacy focused forms of payments. So to have something like this, you know, not to run away from these environments, but to challenge it and to say there's a better way, and to attract the talent in the startup ecosystem from other fintechs, and do, you know, again, the theme of education comes in, because Ben's running, you know, through Antidote is running educational programs and workshops, hackathons, you know, developer programs. So, you know, educating talent there on what the opportunities are outside of these, you know, central bank currencies or more traditional finance. So I love seeing that, because it, you know, that's foundational for spreading the, you know, spreading the word about what Bitcoin can do from protocol level. But he, you know, I love his background. I love his approach to it. I think it'll be very successful. And, you know, clearly there needs to be met in that region. And it's, you know, it's good to see a hub. As you and I know, it's like a lot of, you can be a brilliant developer, you can be a brilliant, you know, startup founder in some ways, but it's hard to round it out or to know how to do it, and then layer Bitcoin on top of it, and you've got challenges. So to have a community and have the help of and guidance of somebody who's been through it before can take, you know, commonalities or make introductions and facilitate, you know, ways of opening doors, I think is just is needed. And I'd like to see more accelerator programs, become successful throughout the Bitcoin world.
Yeah, and he touches on the fact that they'll have pre-structured investment terms. And I mean, it's all very kind of transparent, well laid out. So I'm also excited to see some of the, you know, some of the cohort of companies that go through Antidote. So great episode. And that would kind of wrap up the set of five here that we wanted to recap. Any final thoughts or themes, Lynn, that are worth highlighting?
I think if anything, anyone who's thinking about starting a Bitcoin business or those founders that we've talked to before, I mean, I love this set of five because it just shows the diversity of funding rounds. Like Maple AI is relatively new, has, you know, just a small amount of funding raised. Gustavo and Ario, you know, started. This is really their first pre-seed, but from one investor that really is a big believer in them and a healthy amount and raised in Bitcoin, which is also great to see. And then you have, you know, the other extreme where you've got ZBD at 83 million that they've raised, you know, over a course of a number of rounds, with the most recent round being 40 million. So and then Antidote, which is putting together, you know, pre-seed and seed stages and supporting it. So I love the fact that, you know, this gives a snapshot. And Orange, yeah, yes, public markets.
Yeah.
We're going to the public markets and doing their raise. So, yeah, we really have the whole gamma of every type of startup funding experience there. And so it's, you know, it's good to see that, yes, one of our first questions, you and I, when we first started the podcast or were exploring it was, you know, are there enough Bitcoin companies, or what does the landscape look like? And so I think this snapshot of five just gives that overview that, we're kind of in every round when it comes to the funding of startups.
Yeah, there's breadth, definitely. And to your point, I mean, there's optionality for raising funds and building a company. And I think you're absolutely right. This set of five is a great example of that, because it's quite different approaches that each of these companies is taking.
And they're also all focused on education too, which just speaks to, you know, kind of the core principles of Bitcoin, of just really helping people understand what, you know, money is broken, how do you fix it, and startup ecosystem may be broken. So I love the educational aspect that each one of these companies also has.
Yeah, agreed. With that being said, I mean, you know, take your pick, listen to the full episode of any of those if any particular topic is of interest. We hope you enjoy these recaps, and I guess we'll leave it there.